The scripture reading for today is from the book of John, chapter 10, verses 1 to 16. Verse 1, truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber.
But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeepers open. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. This figure of speech Jesus used them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them.
So Jesus again said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly.
I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep.
He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have told other sheep that they are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice.
So there will be?
So there will be?
One flock.
One flock.
One shepherd.
One shepherd.
This is the Lord.
Is still hurt.
Of the Lord.
Of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Amen.
Amen. Amen. How beautiful, right? Uncle Chu and the three generations all there. Praise the Lord indeed. Good morning. This is our first intergenerational service. But a question for us today, do you know which generation you are from? We want to honor the generations. So when I call out your generation, I invite you to stand. But if you are a bit shy, you can go with the generation that you feel most aligned to in your heart. Okay? We have first the builders, the silent generation. This is 1928 to 1945. Can I invite you to stand so that we can honor you as a church? Thank you. Why do they call the silent generation? Because this generation is said to work very, very hard and not talk so much. Thank you. Please be seated. The baby boomers. 1946 to 1964. Can I invite you to stand? Known to be a generation that is hardworking, resilient. Thank you, baby boomers. After that, you have Generation X. This is 1965 to 1980. Generally described as resourceful and independent. Thank you, Gen X. And then, presenting to you, the Millennials, Gen Y. 1981 to 1996. And this is the generation known to chase their dreams. Generation Z next. And this is 1997 to 2012. This is the internet and social media generation. Thank you, Gen Z. I'm sure there are more, right? And then after that comes, what happens after Z? A? Correct, it's A. Generation Alpha from 2013 to present. SJSM has all the generations in the service, and we will grow to be an intergen church together. Amen. I want us to hear this, no matter which generation we come from, a message this morning, just one, is that you are so loved and cherished by Jesus, our Good Shepherd. No matter which generation you come from, you are so loved and cherished by the Good Shepherd. When Jesus says He is the Good Shepherd, it means that He is calling us as His sheep. Who likes to be called sheep? Who likes to be called sheep? We like it, right? When you think of sheep, you think of the Psalm 23, you think of the thick green grass, the beautiful streams of water, the fluffy little creatures, so innocent, so cute looking. But truth be told, to be called a sheep is not exactly a very flattering thing. Because there are so many wild animals in the world. There are wild horses, wild cats, wild dogs, but you will never find a white woolly sheep as a wild sheep. In fact, this breed of sheep that Jesus speaks of is also called domesticated sheep. Why? Because sheep don't survive at all in the wild. They simply cannot. Without a shepherd, the sheep is really, really jialat. Without a shepherd, the sheep is jialat. Other animals, they will possibly adapt. They may be happy, but not the sheep. The sheep will wander about aimlessly, eat poisonous plants, get stuck in a hole, see a wolf coming, and say, "Hello, Mr. Wolf." But for certain, the sheep will die. While in university, I spent 6 months on a student exchange. I was in Holland. And each Sunday, because we were at the border town in Maastricht, we will have to pass by this huge green field. The church is in Germany itself, so we were at the border itself. So we had to walk by this huge green field. And when I look across the field, there will be a lot of sheep grazing on the grass. And I remember my friend and I, we wanted to have a closer look at the sheep, but we didn't know how to. So this is what we did. We plucked the grass from the floor and started waving at the sheep. And it caught the attention of one little sheep. And then when that one little sheep saw us and came towards us, immediately there were 20, 30, 40 sheep that came behind that. All of them just came towards us, and thankfully there was a fence that separated us. But the interesting thing is, after the sheep all came forward, they stopped and then they started looking at each other. Because they were wondering why they were running there for. And you know what? The following Sunday, we did the exact same thing. And the little sheep did the exact same thing. And again, the following Sunday, we did that. And the sheep again did that. Week after week after week, it happened. The adorable but silly sheep. Timothy Keller, he writes, "If you take any other domestic animal, say dog, cats, horses, and let them loose, they will do one of two things. They'll either go out and live in the wild, or else they will find their way home. But the sheep can't do either. They are too callous, too helpless to fend for themselves or defend themselves in the wild, and they have absolutely no sense of direction. Sheep will die without a shepherd." For you and I as humans, the older we get, the wiser we get. True? All the seniors say amen. Amen. You have seen more, you have done more, you have been there, done that. But for the sheep, they don't really get smarter with age, you know. They don't learn much from experience. That's why we don't see the sheep performing in a circus. But there's Shaun the Sheep, the circus coming, right? In May in Singapore. But that's not the real sheep. You don't see the real sheep performing. The sheep itself is helpless, silly, and completely dependent on the shepherd. But think with me, you pause here, you think with me. Then how come Jesus calls us sheep? Have you wondered about that? If he said the sheep is all that helpless, silly, completely dependent, why does Jesus say he's the shepherd? Because church, maybe, just maybe, we are like that. We are like sheep in need of a shepherd. Turn to each other and say, you are like sheep. Pronounced correctly, yeah? And say to each other, you need a shepherd. So regardless of experience or age in life, it doesn't matter if you are ati, a boy, taiko, apa, or even ama. You need a shepherd. Because we stand before Christ completely helpless, completely dependent on him. We need a shepherd to lead us. We need a shepherd to feed us. And in today's text, we need a shepherd to protect us. In those days, there will be thieves and robbers who want to steal the sheep. There will be wild animals who want to eat the lambs, kambing soup for dinner. So a sheep is no match for them at all. How do they protect the sheep, especially at night? In each village, there is a common sheepfold. And all the shepherds in the village, after they bring the sheep out for grazing, in the evening, they will bring all the little sheep into a communal sheepfold, a little bit like this. It is made of waist-high stone walls, and at the top, there are thorny branches to prevent wild animals from climbing over. So in the entire sheepfold, there is only one entrance, one doorway. You come in and go out from that same door, easier to guard. So at night, when the shepherd sleeps, shepherd also need to sleep, right? Who takes care of the sheep? Is it Noah? Or no one? Usually, the shepherds take turn, or they will have a hired hand, a hired person called a gatekeeper to take care of the sheep. The gatekeeper basically jaga the gate lah. Sit at the entrance to make sure that the little sheep are safe. He makes sure that no wild animals come at night to steal or harm the sheep. Because the dangers are real. We read in verse 1, Jesus says, I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep, and the gatekeeper opens the gate for him. So only the shepherd will enter by the main door, but the thieves and the robber, they know that the gatekeeper will never open the door for them or never let them through. So what do they do? Children, what will you do? So clever. But bad thing to learn. Correct. But climb in. So when it's dark, no street lights at night, in pitch darkness, they climb over. But there's one big problem when they want to steal the sheep. What's that? Will the sheep say, come, take me. When, right? The sheep will make a lot of noise. It probably will wrestle and fight. How to make sure the sheep keeps quiet? They kill the sheep. They slaughter the sheep in the sheepfold. Then the thieves will throw the dead sheep over the wall before climbing out. And that's why we have the familiar verse in John 10:10 that the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I want us to see that the dangers are real. The sheep by itself is no match for the predator. And that's why you and I, we all need a shepherd. But not all shepherds are the same. In our text, there are two types of shepherds. The first is the hired hand. And we read the hired hand is not the shepherd and doesn't own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. The wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. And the man runs away because he's a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. So the hired hand is simply employed then for the job, just jaga the gate. There's very little ownership, and he's in it mainly for the money. At the first sign of trouble, the hired hand will say, "Huh? I'm paid $7.50 an hour. You want me to fight the lion?" And Jesus was saying to the Pharisees, "You are like that. You don't take care of the sheep. You want to gain something from it. You want to fleece them." So church, as we talk about serving together, putting our hands to the plow, you and I need to know and remember that we are never hired hands. Church staff, we are not in it for the money. It's a calling. Lay leaders, we serve not in it for the recognition or to gain favor. Again, it is because we are family, as the Lord calls us to. We serve because we love Jesus, and we serve as one big family, and there is ownership in the family. And Jesus says in verse 11, in contrast to the hired hand, he says, "I am the good shepherd." And the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd." In English, we use good for everything. If I ask you, how's the food? How's your day? How's the service? How's your new pastor?
Good.
See, they say, Archdeacon. Years ago for my wedding, I spent a while to pen the lyrics of our wedding song. And then my wife Priscilla put it into music. Then I said to Priscilla, "Let's record our walk-in, march-in together, a duet. Let's sing a duet." Because I know Priscilla loves to sing. She does it really well. But the problem is me. I cannot pitch properly. Every time I sing, I go off key. When I sing, people say, "Victor, you harmonize so well." So we were recording. She put it to music. I thought I knew the song. So every time I do my part, Priscilla will say, "It's good. Let's try again." "It's good. Let's try again." What is good? Maybe the lyrics are good, meaningful, but the singing is not so good. So the word good in English doesn't cover that total goodness. In the Greek language, there is one word that speaks of that total goodness and beauty. It is the word kalos that is used here. It is the word kalos that is used here, and it means total beauty and loveliness in character and essence. So when Jesus says, "I'm the good shepherd," it's not that superficial good that you and I are so acquainted with, but it is 100% good. It speaks of the beauty, the compelling power of his love. So Jesus is good not only because he is morally good. He's not good simply because he gives us good things, the things that he does, but it is his character. And there is a relationship between the shepherd and the sheep. For we all need a shepherd, and Jesus is the good shepherd. He himself says, Christ says, "I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay my life down for the sheep." Jesus says, "I know my sheep, and my sheep know me." The word "know" conveys something much more than just an intellectual awareness alone, but it speaks of an intimate relationship between God and his people. In Palestine, sheep is not largely reared for meat, not for food. Mutton, most meat is expensive, not an everyday food. They eat more fish. Fish is more a staple. But sheep is kept mostly for their milk and wool. So what this means is that the sheep get to live much longer. Means what? The shepherd can get to know the sheep a little bit more. Otherwise, very funny and cruel, right? The shepherd can eat the sheep kambing soup. But there's a lot more intimacy, you see. The shepherd knows each sheep individually. And I say to us today that Jesus, our good shepherd, also knows each one of us intimately by name. In a world with billions of people, at times we can feel so small, insignificant, we can almost feel as if no one knows our name. It's like that. We feel it sometimes, although it's not true. We feel it, my teacher only knows the names of the top students. Is it true? No. My grandparents love my sister more because she scores more A's. Is it true? No. Wasaya. But we think like that. Why? Because we think our worth and significance is linked to performance. And it's a very Singaporean thing, you know. We think that we are loved by how well we do and what we do. So we find our worth, our significance by that. So there is the tugging in our heart to want to do more. We strive to make a name for ourselves. In this world where there are so many people, we embark on a quest to search for significance with our achievements, our results, our cleverness, our wealth, and even our family. We show it off. And this is the sad result of the pragmatic society that we are in. There was a retired pastor who was sharing that he feels it. He feels it a lot. He said last time, there are a lot of birthday wishes, birthday cards on his birthday, but now he receives only one from the insurance company. Last time when he came out of the MRT, he said he would walk fast to avoid the agents or salespeople, but now he walks slowly, but they avoid him. But there is that sense, you see, as he shared, that things are different, that he is less significant. And that's why I want us to hear that today's message is liberating. And hear me carefully. You are never too small, too young, too old, or insignificant for Jesus. He knows you already by name. And he calls you by name. In the busy noise of the world, the shepherd says, I know you by name. You have nothing to prove, nothing to show, nothing to impress me with. I know you not because you did well in life. I know you not because you are famous. I know you not because you score so many A's or go to that good school. I know you not because you have something to give and contribute. I know you not because you are perfect, not because you sin less than him or her, but I know you because you are my sheep. I know your strengths. I know your weaknesses. I know you true and true. And I love you. I know you by name. I want us to see that intimacy, that closeness, that relationship. When the Lord says, I know you, the shepherd knows the sheep. So that you and I don't go about trying to make a name for ourselves and make it our life purpose and mission in life. So that you and I don't spend all our years fighting for that name to be made known. So that you and I can awaken to the truth that there is a shepherd who already knows your name and he loves you. How powerful that is when you and I can grip that spiritual truth and lay it down deep down in our hearts today. I already know you by name. After calling the sheep by name, the good shepherd leads them out. We read in verse 4, when he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them. And his sheep follow him because they know his voice. The shepherd leads the sheep out. He goes on ahead of them. You know, there's a difference between how Western shepherds and Eastern shepherds herd or lead the flock. Generally, Western shepherds will lead from the... You think of the cowboy shows. Where will they lead from? The back. They will drive the sheep. They will use sheep dogs to herd the sheep. They will drive the sheep from behind. The cowboys, the whip circling and herding the flock. But Oriental and Eastern shepherds lead the sheep from the front, just like the good shepherd in verse 4, who goes on ahead of them. Jesus says he is the good shepherd who leads the sheep. But very scary for a leader, right? I imagine if I lead the church, lead, then I turn around, bolang. It's scary, right, to lead from the front. So that's why maybe human tendency is if I lead from the back, I whip everybody, I can see, I can make sure that everybody moves together. But it's so much harder to lead from the front as Jesus did. Jesus says he's the good shepherd and he leads from the front. He leads ahead. And that's why the call, the Christian call, is always follow me. The Christian call is always follow me. John Stott, he was in Israel on a tour bus as he shares this account. He was saying, he was describing this account. They were going through, the tour bus was going through the wilderness of Judea. And then the tour guide was explaining to everybody this same point, that shepherds in Israel never drive the sheep from behind, but they always lead them from the front. And just as the guide was saying that, one of the tourists raised his hands and said, look out the window, there's somebody driving the sheep with a stick. What about that guy? So everybody looked out. Alamak, the tour guide got caught. So he doesn't want to be called a liar, so he asked the bus to stop. He ran down the bus, and then he went to talk to the man. John Stott described the incident as they were waving their arms, talking to each other in Arabic. Then the guide ran back to the bus, and he said, I'm still correct. That man isn't the shepherd. He's the butcher. Jesus leads in the front. He doesn't whip or drive us from behind, but he is in front leading us. He's not aloof on the sidelines watching you. He's ahead beckoning you and I to follow him. So church, we need a shepherd, and Jesus is the good shepherd. He knows us, calls us by name, and leads us. The question today is, can you hear his voice of leading? Are you following his lead? Are you hearing the voice of the shepherd? Do you know the voice of the shepherd? In verse 3, the gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep, we read, the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. The sheep listen to his voice. The sheep know the shepherd's voice. In 1989, during the Palestinian War, soldiers came to a village near Bethlehem, rounded up all the sheep and goats, and placed them in the center of the village in a huge barbed wire pen. In a famous true episode, as recounted by Gary Birch, a woman came to the officer begging for her animals to be released. She explained that her husband is dead and the animals were her only source of livelihood. The soldiers laughed at her and pointed to the pen containing hundreds of animals. They say, we can't do it because we don't know which sheep are yours. And then the woman asked if she could separate the animals herself. The soldiers laughed at her again and opened the gate. Then the woman's son took out a small flute and he played a simple tune over and over and over again. And as he did so, their little sheep, their little heads just started bobbing up and they started walking towards her. Exactly 25 of her sheep followed. The sheep knows the voice of the shepherd. That's the saving grace of the sheep. It's in nature, you know. At least the sheep hears and knows the voice of the shepherd. How silly, dependent the sheep may be, the saving grace is that it can hear the voice of the shepherd and follow him. Do we? Do we know the voice of the shepherd? Whose voice do we hear? Is it the voice of your classmates who tell you that you are useless, terrible? Or do you hear the voice of the shepherd saying you are precious? Is it the voice of despair that tells you that all is lost? Or do you hear the voice of the shepherd saying, trust me? Is it the voice of society you hear that compels you to climb the ladder and fight for significance, making a name for yourself? Or do you hear the voice of the shepherd say, let go and follow me? We all need a shepherd, and Jesus is the good shepherd. He knows us, calls us by name, and leads us. And what we need to do is to hear his voice and follow him. Father, we pray this morning that we can hear your still small voice beckoning us. as we decide this day across the generations to follow you, because every generation needs a shepherd. Help us to see that we are one big flock, one big family, with one shepherd leading us and guiding us. We pray this day that we can hear your voice and choose always to follow you all the days of our life. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Will you join me as we stand together in this song of response? Let it be a prayer to our God who first loved us.